The Bible reading this morning comes from Psalm 126, a psalm of ascents. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with the songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. And doesn't that remind you of the hymn we used to sing? Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
I have a question for you as we begin this morning. It's a rhetorical question, so you don't need to call out an answer. You just need to maybe think about it for a moment or two. How would you describe your life? What single words come to mind? Boring, miserable, unfulfilled, exciting, wonderful, meaningful. I hope it's a bit more of the former than the latter. But what about joyous? Did that word come to your mind? It's what I want to talk about this morning. I'm a bit disappointed. Carol just took away the smiley balloon because that fitted quite well with what I'm about to share with you. Don't worry about bringing it back though, Carol. We'll just imagine that it's there and that I'm talking about joy. I want to talk about the way of joy this morning. It's a great thing to have, of course. It's that sense of well-being and satisfaction that's much deeper and much more lasting than happiness. Happiness comes and goes depending on the circumstances, but joy remains. Have you got it? This isn't in my notes, and I wasn't going to say this. I just thought of it this morning, but let me just share very quickly personally different stages in my Christian pilgrimage. I've thought, I really would love to be more holy, and I've had a focus on, I've read books on holiness, I've concentrated more on a daily the things you try to do when you want to be holy. At other times in my life I've thought, wouldn't it be great to be wise? I'd love people to think of me as sort of the guru type, wise man, the holy man, you know, like the monk that people would go to discuss their issues and their walk as disciples. And I had this picture of my influence spreading, my wisdom and my holiness, at least beyond my study. But you know, there's something, as I get older, I think I've realised there's something missing in that picture. And it's something that I strive more and more for now. And that's for joy. To know and to show the joy of the Lord in my Christian walk with Him. I'm not saying the other things aren't important, but if it's just those, I'm not sure I'm going to make much of an influence. But when they're combined with the joy of the Lord, wow, what a testimony that is before the world. That diversion's over. I'll try not to make too many more as I go. So have you got it, that joy of the Lord? The psalmist who wrote and sang Psalm 126 had it, as did his contemporaries. So the second part of verse 3 of the psalm, we are filled with joy. later pilgrims who would have sung this song together on their pilgrimages to Jerusalem, they had it too. They sang, "We are filled with joy." There used to be an ad on TV years ago with an annoying voiceover that repeatedly asked, "Where do you get it?" Do you remember that? The shrill ochre accent. It must be one of the worst ads ever on Australian TV. But it was so bad that it worked, in a way. It was unforgettable, and people were talking about it, and it was in the general conversation. Whether it actually encouraged people to buy anything, I'm not sure. They might have turned a deaf ear to the products. I guess that's debatable. But it's a good question when it comes to joy. Where do you get it? Let me say up front where you don't get it. Not from superficial, momentary things, because true joy is deep and lasting. Unfortunately, many in our society are looking for lasting happiness and joy in all the wrong sorts of places. Here's a quote from Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message Bible. In his book, The Journey, he says, "We try to get it through entertainment. We pay someone to make jokes, perform dramatic actions and sing songs. We buy the vitality of another's imagination to enliven our own poor lives. The enormous entertainment industry is a sign of the depletion of joy in our culture. Society is a bored, gluttonous king, employing a court jester to divert it after an overindulgent meal. But that kind of joy never penetrates our lives, never changes our basic constitution. The effects are extremely temporary, a few minutes, a few hours, a few days at most. When we run out of money, the joy trickles away." So that's a comment about where you don't find joy. Where do you get it? How do you get it? Well, this is where Psalm 126 is helpful, because it's a psalm about joy. In fact, that word joy occurs multiple times in the psalm. First of all, it comes from looking back and seeing that God has worked in the past. This is one of those psalms of ascents, one of that collection of 15 songs that Jews sang on their pilgrimages to Jerusalem. This one they probably also sang after they arrived there. The key phrase is right in the middle of the psalm. I've already quoted it. The second part of verse 3, "And we are filled with joy." The tunes to these songs haven't come down to us, but I imagine their singing coming to a crescendo at this point as the pilgrims expressed their joy on the journey. It's the only part in this psalm that is in the present tense. What leads up to it, and we have it there in verses 1 and 2 and the first part of verse 3, all that is in the past. The psalm gives a particular reason for their joy. It's the recollection of the great things that God has done in the past. See the first part of verse 3 there? "The Lord has done great things for us in the past, and now we are filled with joy." I'm indebted to Graham Chatfield, not just for the prayer this morning, but for his contribution last week in introducing to us the Psalms of Ascents. And he pointed out that many of them seem to have been written after the return of the Jews from exile in Babylon during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. And that certainly seems to be the case with this psalm. "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed." See, it was impossible. It was just a dream. But God did it. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. And even foreign nations took note of the return of the exiles and recognised God's hand in it. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." And then the people sing, "Yes, the Lord has done great things for us." As the pilgrims trekked their way to Jerusalem year after year, they would have been very conscious that returning exiles trod that same path that they were on long before them. As they journeyed, they would sing this old song, recalling that historical event and the rejoicing of the exiles. But they would also be making that song their own. We do something similar today, don't we? I was thinking of the song Amazing Grace. We know the story of the conversion of the slave trader John Newton, who wrote the song. But we don't just sing it remembering his story. It connects with our story, and we sing it with thanks to God for God's amazing grace to us as well. Or another example might be Psalm 23, a very personal song written by David 3,000 years ago. But we sing it to the tunes that we know. We sing it today, and we make it our own. The Lord is my shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A song written and sung by someone else and by others before us, and we make it our own. And that's what's happening here with this psalm. In 1955, C.S. Lewis published a book entitled Surprised by Joy, The Shape of My Early Life. And it covered the period from 1898 to 1931, from his boyhood till he was converted from atheism to Christianity. I bought a second-hand copy of the book many years ago, mistakenly, because I thought it was about his marriage to Joy Gresham, an American poet and writer. I thought, surprised by Joy. I've read one of Joy's books. I'm going to read what C.S. Lewis says about her. As I said, I was mistaken. Interestingly, though, she did edit the book, but they didn't get married till 2 years after its publication. So the book is actually about C.S. Lewis's search for joy. And he shares in that book, particularly in the later chapters, how he found his joy in committing his life to the Lord Jesus. Are you able to look back over your life and see how God has done great things for you in the past? It's one of the advantages, one of the privileges, I guess, of being that little bit older. And it's something that can contribute to that deep inner joy. So how do you get it? Well, firstly, by looking back and seeing what God has done in the past. But secondly, by looking ahead and knowing that God will work in the future. When the exiles returned from Babylon and settled once more in Jerusalem, they actually found the going tough. It was not like how it used to be, and it was not like how they expected it to be. The walls were in disrepair and needed rebuilding, as did their sacred temple. And the fields which had been neglected for so long yielded little. As we've seen, the psalm begins, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion," a reference to them coming back to Jerusalem. But disappointment is evident as the second half of the psalm begins, there in verse 4. "Restore our fortunes, Lord." It is a heartfelt prayer that God might once again intervene. Now, this is quite different to just reminiscing or living in the past or longing for the return of the good old days. And it's different to moaning and complaining over one situation. It's different to what the Israelites did, for example, after God had delivered them from slavery in Egypt, when they complained that their journey in the wilderness was too hard and said that they would rather be back in Egypt. On the contrary, here in this psalm, we see expressions of joy and hope despite the circumstances. There are two powerful images in this second part of the psalm. In verse 4, "Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev." The Negev is a desert area to the south, which has lots of gullies and wadis, usually dry. But when the rains do come, the beds quickly fill up, just like they do in outback Australia. Not with damaging floods, though, like we've seen in the news this week in Libya, but with renewal. The desert blooms and comes to life almost overnight. Instant joy, God has worked. The second image is a complementary one. It's an image of farmers doing the hard, arduous work of sowing. The results here aren't instantaneous, but eventually they return home with the harvest, as Penny reminded us, bringing in the sheaves. Notice the expression of faith in verses 5 and 6. "Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them." Having remembered how God had worked in the past, there is every confidence that God will continue to work in the future. The anticipation and expectation of what will happen in the future brings joy in the present. It deals with anxiety. It deals with disappointment, and there is joy. There's a lot more that could be and perhaps should be said about joy. I've talked about the source of joy in the new life that comes. I talked about the source of joy in the new life that comes through Christ, or joy being the part of the fruit of the indwelling spirit. But Psalm 126 at least sets us on the right path. I'll come back to that in just a moment. I hope you've been able to make some personal applications as we've been going through this psalm. At this point, I'd just like to make some general church applications. Because today is a special day, as you all realise by now. It's a special day as we farewell Carol and Paul. It's a day of reminiscing and looking back over 30 years for them and even longer. TCB is actually 70 this year. And from very small beginnings, the church has grown to what it is today. God has worked, and thousands of people have been transformed along the way. Paul and Carol have made major contributions to that, and we are so thankful for their faithful ministry over the years. So it's a day of looking back, it's a day of reminiscing, but it's also a day for rejoicing and celebrating what God has done through them and the church today and those that have come before us. The Lord has done great things, and we are filled with joy. That doesn't mean there won't be any tears today as we farewell our two good friends, but despite the tears, we rejoice with them and we rejoice for them. And it's also a day for looking ahead with hope. Along with those returning exiles and the pilgrims, I too pray, restore our fortunes, Lord. I think it's fair to say that following our return from the exiles of COVID, attendances aren't quite what they used to be. Offerings and the budget are a little down. The pastoral team is smaller, especially after today. But I see these things as only temporary. Friends, take heart and move forward with hope. Because the God who has worked so marvellously here in the past is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and will continue his work in us and through us. To conclude, I'd like to read something that a former senior pastor said. It was Neil Dawson in the Forward to the History book published for the church's 50th anniversary 20 years ago. What he says, and here's the quote, what he says could well have been a commentary on this psalm, Psalm 126. I close with these words. As with the psalmists and other writers of old, it is good for us to remember and tell of all that God has done. This is not to dwell on the past or long for the good old days again, but to give him the glory for all that has gone before, and to remind ourselves of his promises to never leave us and to give us a future and a hope. Amen.